welcome, and thank you for joining us. Wow, what an amazing week. Wasn't that something? I mean, think about this from the market's perspective, right? We're going to cross 100,000 of this and a million of that, and the coronavirus continues to spread. They're not opening up this, and the employment numbers are awful. Unbelievable. Historic. Historic in a sense of how fast it went down, historic in the sense of how amazingly bad these numbers are. We've never been here before. 14% unemployment. Unreal. It's not even really reflective, is it? It's not all in the numbers. It's not all in the numbers at all. It's going to get worse. Absolutely worse. Certain to. But the market goes up? What? Seriously? The market goes up. Are you ready for this now? Of the major indices? The NASDAQ is green for the year 2020. That's after, 39% 2019. Huh? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. In the face of all of the bad news. Why? How? I mean, are people, have they lost their minds? Have they lost their minds? It doesn't make any sense when we look at the news, right? We've been talking about this. But it's so important to think through. I want to talk about some of the basics today. I want to go back to basics, right? Why we own stocks. What are they? All those things. We got to talk about this. Why? Because we have to learn during periods like this. We have to learn. We can't just roll into the next disaster or whatever it is and go, oh, yeah, coronavirus. Yeah, I remember back 20 years ago, blah, 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 and not really have it teach us. 2008, 2009, the economic news in 2009 gets worse and worse and worse as the market from its bottom in April goes up 45% in 90 days. As we descend to an unemployment peak of 10% during that time. Why? Because the market's looking forward. That's too simplistic. It always is. It's always too simplistic. It is in one sense. Is that the full explanation? Of course not. Every time is different. The full explanation is a lot. But basically, it always is the explanation. The market's looking forward. Therefore, it's bottoming. The market bottoms well before the economy does. Always. Sometimes sooner, sometimes later, always before. Have we seen the bottom? I don't know. I would guess so. The market's acting like that. Since it's up, 30% and more? Since March 23rd? The final capitulation, unfortunately, for some people. All right, I can't take it anymore. I'm out. Why? Because we don't understand. We don't understand that this is what markets do. They break your heart from time to time as they make you rich. Always. Let me repeat that because it's really important to understand. You have to understand this. It's not a maybe it will make you rich. It always does. Always. Now, how do I define rich? Well, maybe you define it differently. Maybe the people that have a little bit more money than you are rich, and you're not. And it's funny how we just don't see ourselves that way. We live better than 99.9% of the people ever in the history of the world, but we're not rich. Because we're not in the 0.0001 of all time. Okay, so maybe you're not private jet rich just because you throw some money in a 401k and leave it alone. Remember, a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day, for 40 years is over $1 million. Through coronaviruses, stock market crashes, all the downturns, blah, 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 right? Okay, it's a lot of money. And imagine if you added a few bucks more as you made more money. It's that easy. And it's that hard in the sense that we then have to tolerate. You have to tolerate the occasional heartbreak. It's required. It just means you can't take it out now at this moment. It also means you need to add to it at this moment. Pardon me. So when we're thinking about this and looking at it, there are always, these dips are always buying opportunities. They're amazing. Oh, I get to buy one of the greatest companies in the whole history of the world, Apple, off 30%. Oh, I get to buy one of the greatest companies ever, Microsoft, off 50 points from its high to its bottom in March 23rd. It's almost back. Because what we have to ask ourselves is this. Are people never going to buy an iPhone again? No, they're going to buy iPhones. Is the production of them disabled forever? No. No, not at all. Are people going to still be buying all their services, music, all those things through? Uh-huh, still are. More so now. Why? Because I have to sit in my basement and that's all I get to do. I can't even go see my grandkids. So we use it even more. But in the whole panic of everything, we just say, oh my gosh, we're never going to get on a cruise ship again. So I guess I better sell Microsoft and Amazon. What sense does that make? None. None. But in the panic of the heartbreak, we do that. We do that. And then we gravitate towards the box on the wall. Tell me more. Count bodies for me. I want more clarity. Mess up my head. It's an insane thing we do. But it's a human craving. We want more bad news. Pile it on. And actually, our thought process is, give me more data that I have no context for. I really don't know where to put it. It's not wisdom at all. And I want to put that all in this box. And then I think I shake it up. And then I what? I learn little. I have no ability to have any clarity in my life. And we want more and more and more. And it's human nature. It's human nature to assume that when we hear news, it's going to get worse, or it's the same straight line to oblivion. It's not. It's a piece of data. And for those of you who God's blessed with an optimistic outlook, with an automatic, whoa, 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 I don't know if it's all that bad. We need to understand that that is not how most people react. They don't. They're flipped out. They're flipped out. And their focus is the one person under 30 that died from this. Their focus is the one person that seemed otherwise to be perfectly healthy but died. That's what they're focused on. It's the same argument you have getting on an airplane. I'm going to drive across the country because I don't want to get on an airplane. Okay, well, but that's like a million times more deadly. You can tell me all you want, but that's not what I believe. So when we get in this panic situation and you then look at your finances and you're sure that everybody's going to die, this is it, this is final, it's over, out, we have to leave the stock market. This time it is really, truly different. And what happens? Now you don't get rich. It's that true. That is really that true. People left in 2000 after the tech bubble. Well, they were buying the wrong stuff. They bought Air.com and other things like that that had no future, no earnings, nothing. They were buying vapor. But it was the stock market's fault, not theirs, for not understanding. Day trading? Nonsense. Or simply thinking, well, one manager A isn't doing as well as manager B, who is only in buying tech stocks, for gosh sakes. Two different things. And it blows up. Nonsense. We have to look within. If we're always just blaming, good luck with that relationship. And what I mean by that is good luck with your relationship with money when it's always somebody else's fault that you don't have as much as you should. Good investment decisions. This is not a hard game, except for the one thing that people struggle with. Price movement. This is the easiest thing. You can't even believe you're not even allowed to manage anything. You can't show up at Procter & Gamble and help them out in a snowstorm. The delivery truck broke down. It's not gonna, they're not gonna let you say, here, let me take a box of Kleenexes and deliver it. No, you can't help your company. You're not allowed to. You're only allowed to cash the dividend checks that in Procter & Gamble's case have been gone up for 71 years in a row. You mean they just send me more money every year? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Three times the rate of inflation. What? It's a soap company, basically, right? These are the options out there that people have. But what do? When the price, not the value, changes. Why do I say price, not value? Value is what you received, a rising stream of income. If they never priced it, you would have to assume it was like a gazillion dollars a share because they just pay you more every year. And it would never do anything except what? Go up. But they price it every day. So you're fully free to freak out every time there is a bad news report. You're also fully free to say, I'll take some Microsoft at 150. I know, it went to 130. I get it. But you didn't get it on March 23rd. I know you didn't. You bought it early because you're smart. And I mean that sincerely, because the market dipped and you said, aha, finally, I've been waiting for the Amazon and Microsoft. I mean, I got a little Apple earlier, I got some Google, I got that, but I haven't been able to complete the mosaic of this perfect masterpiece of a portfolio until now. I got the price break. Bam. You're in to one of the greatest companies ever that will ask you to do nothing and they will just send you more money every year. And then when you die, you're worth boatloads more after enjoying a steady stream of income. That's how this actually is. How do actually people think it is? They turn on CNBC. Why is the market up today? Oil's up. Oil's down. What do you mean? Yesterday you said the market was collapsing because oil prices were collapsing. Now oil prices are rising and the market is collapsing. What are you talking about? Right, they make it up every day. How can the market be going up with all of this economic news? Because we're looking out and down and through the valley to the other side. That's how. It's really not complicated, but try to complicate it best you can. It will make it very hard. I mean, grind over it, man. Get that CNBC. Turn them on all the time. Have it in the background. Make it, you know, tick, 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 tick. Oh, I'm learning. I'm learning stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure you are. You're learning how to make your heart bad. That's what you're doing. You're turning value into price. You were just able to get some of the greatest corporations of the world. And even if you were like all in, and most people aren't all in, you know how many people sent a check for like $10,000? Right? It's like, engineer. That's, God, you just don't know. When people do that, it's like, here is the thing. I know I can't do this right, so here's my thing. I'm going to put money in when I just don't want to. It hurts. I just feel terrible because my portfolio went way down in price, not value. Now, some of the things when we have something like this, this very catastrophic, they aren't coming back. I mean, if your portfolio was loaded up with airlines, hotels, and cruise ships, you have a problem. It's not coming back. Not like it was. Do I think I might get on a boat again? Sure, might. It might be a whole bunch of different owners, though, as they go bankrupt through this. Oh, my gosh. Casinos? I have a hard time. And I love a hot crapscape. I mean, that's just really fun. How am I going to do that? I'm supposed to socially distance like 6 feet away. The dealers aren't even 6 feet away. This is going to be different. We'll see what happens. But I would hate to own the stocks. And yes, they bounced off the bottom. To me, that's just, I don't know. It's like buying pot stocks, you know? They're hot, they're cold, stay away. It's not, that's not investing. It's speculation. You want to speculate, it's okay. But understand, that's not real investing. Buying and owning the great corporations of the world, that's real investing. And the long-term rate of return, no matter what your age is 10, because there's a gravitational pull towards the equator. Well, for the market, it's a gravitational pull towards 10. It's 10 for 30 years, 43 years, 56 years, 82 years. It's 10. You can slice and dice and say, well, from 76 to 96, it wasn't 10. I know. You can do like you do that with anything. Over long periods of time, it's 10. Nothing even comes close. Nothing is close. There's no argument. People argue, well, I think you ought to do this. You ought to do that. Fine. Carry the argument. I'm just going to go ahead, be over here. I'm going to do that, do this thing, and I get rich. It's not that hard. But we have to behave, and that's what we're going to talk about in the second hour today. Right now, I need you to give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We need to take a quick break, and hopefully you're on the other side of that. 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, it's your turn to do so at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And if you prefer email, that's fine. It's dave@petsofinancial.com. Joe writes, hi, Dave. I have a 25 to 30 point gain on some quality industrial stocks in the past 6 weeks. Nice hit, that's for sure. I don't know if this is a new position or not, Joe, or if something you have. The account is taxable, and they have about 5% plus in dividends. Should I sell and look for other things that have greater value for appreciation or hold them? I do not need the money now and was wishing I had more funds to redeploy. Okay, if you don't need it, here's an interesting thing. This is nothing wrong with saying, wow, I took this flyer. I took one too. You know, just was a company I saw beaten down. I just thought, my goodness gracious, you know, of all those little flyers you throw out there. And it's up huge. I'll just mention it was Six Flags. And of course, Six Flags, can you think of anything worse to own than an amusement park, right? Crazy. An amusement park, right, where people are just afraid to go. But if it goes down to a level and you think they might be reopening, then it is a possibility. That's why I say it's okay to speculate, but not with serious money. Now, with that, you might say, look, I got a big bounce. I'm out. What you're talking about are industrial companies that are they going to be around? And I think it's something, if you bought them, did you do your homework? If they're great companies, hang on. And the other part of this is this. It reminds me of an old statement from John Templeton. Okay? Years ago, Sir John always said, we don't sell stocks quickly. And the only time we do is when I find a company that I feel has twice the opportunity, because often I'm wrong and I want a margin of error, right? And so since we want a margin of error, you have to be thinking, I'm going to be wrong on the sale and maybe on the buy or one or the other. So if you've got something, it's been going well, you've got nice dividends, if you've done your homework and feel like they're going to be around, great. That's one to hang on to, not to try to flip. So if you do have an idea that's twice as good, not a little better, twice as good, right? Then it's a possibility. All right. So think about it that way. And Joe, what a great question. And congratulations. I'm assuming this is from a new ad of money. Okay. All right. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. Hey, we're almost out of time this hour. And when we come back, I want to talk about the basics. Basics of investing. We get away from it all the time and not thinking about this as a long-term process. What do? We think about it as short-term, news-driven. The news cycle drives our decisions. It drives our decisions all the time. And that's short-term. Very, very short-term. So how do we pull back in a time like this? And I just want to give you a couple statistics to think about as we move into our break here. We worry about the world so much, and we should, right? China's a bad actor. You know what? Even the liberals out there are starting to say, wow, China is a problem. And they weren't, right? They weren't at all. We know, for example, what Joe Biden was saying about them before, right? They're not an issue. They're not a problem. What we have now, our population, is less than 5% of the world. Five. That's the United States. China, almost a fourth. Isn't that incredible? 23% of the world population is in China. How about the GDP? What do you think that is? With 5% of the world's population, the United States of America has 25% of the GDP. We invent everything. We create everything. We drive everything. We're not important in the world. We're it. We're it. We are it. China, by the way, is less than 15%. Yeah, they're growing. They are. It's not over. We will rise again. And one of the things we have to recognize is just how unique and different the United States is. It is really different in this world. All right. We'll talk to you after the Fox News break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hold on one second. Just hold on. There, that's better. I just can't work when there's people out talking in the hallway. So I can't. That's just the way it is. All right, our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. All right, sorry about that disruption. I'm excited to talk today because I am always excited to go back to basics. Always. Always excited to go back to basics. It is the most, I don't know how to say this, except it just grounds me back in the day when I didn't know anything. And I just knew that the markets were good. I knew that. And I started listening to the John Templetons, everything he wrote, everything he said. I listened to Dr. Bob, and he, because he was just had a way of talking about everything in such a way that people could understand. I mean, really understand. You just walk away going, you know, I get that difficult concept. And I wore those tapes out, right? And for some of you who are in the industry, and I know some folks in the industry do listen periodically to the show, and thank you for doing that, and thanks for letting me know once in a while. But you know what I'm talking about, the company, and I can say it was Putnam, used to have this guy named Dr. Bob, and they'd send out this tape, and this goes back 30 years ago, and I mean, I would just be driving down the road, going down to Sun Valley or something, just to try to find somebody that would actually see this kid, and I just wear those tapes out. And in learning things, and you just keep learning, and it just drives me back to those sources of where we learn so much, we grow so much. And then sometimes it's like, when did I stop growing like that, right? When did I just stop feeding my soul the way that I did back then? And it's like, I look at this and I go, basics, man, I love the basics. I just do, because it just kind of comes back to this, like a cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1 million, over $1 million. That's not a special 40-year period. It's any 40-year period. That's not much. And so you say, well, yeah, but it's just a cup of coffee. I know. That's exactly my point. You don't have to put away a lot. You don't. But you see, I knew that too, right? I knew what $50 a month at X amount percent, da-da-da-da-da, and the mountain charts and all that. That's the basics. Peel back to the basics. See, we are in a world now where people are just hyperventilating all the time, right? It's like news 24/7. Everywhere you look, there's a screen screaming for your attention. And there's always, it's not new. Annuity pimps have been around my entire career. Constant. There's always people willing to steal your money. Always. Always. But when people are talking about basic, simple things, it just takes that away. We just walk back into the basics. How hard is it to put away a cup of coffee a day? Simple. Easy. Perfect. It works. Decade after decade. And it also puts, when you're doing the right things, like I touched on this in the last hour, when you're doing the right things and you're putting money away, or when the market goes down and you go, God, this hurts, but I'm going to write a check. I don't have much, but I'm going to send $1,000. Changes everything. The dynamic of buying into a difficult time is magic. It's really magic. Now, I'm not saying leverage or anything like that. And if you want to get rich, it's not because you lever up this, you use somebody else's money, trade on our dollars, learn this new option system, buy this equity index annuity, which promises you the upside of the market with no downside risk. A giant lie. We all know now, especially with interest rates where they are, the caps are 3% all across the industry. You can't make more than 3. Market's up 25, doesn't matter, you get 3. Market's down, you get 0. That's not, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Fear. So we get fearful with all those screens around us, and I think it helps me, and I get excited about it, just to think about some of the basics. Now, we're going to meet Dave, okay? This is a start. These are just fun things, and I just want you to understand what this is about. What is investing about? Is it about the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Is it about stocks and what are ETFs and what are REITs and what are all these acronyms that I don't understand and do I need to? And the answer is no, you don't. You understand the basics of put money away, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You can turn the TV off. You'll be a better investor. Everything shows it. Shut it down. I look for depth of commentary. It was interesting. Just had a discussion here during the break. Is not to I don't come here to bring you news. I come here to bring you insight, right? It's why you will spend a little bit of time on a precious Saturday, is that hopefully I can bring a little bit of insight. That's all. Not what's the market going to do next week? Nobody knows. Or why the market goes up and then goes down on oil going up or down. It isn't doing that. That's the boneheads on TV telling you something that you don't know. Then we turn around and we repeat it to our neighbor, our friend. Well, I see that oil prices are making the market do stuff. Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. No, you don't. You don't know anything about it because the guy on TV doesn't know either. I mean, how do you report the market goes up on hope? What's that? What do we measure hope? Which hand has the most hope in it? I don't know. It's just hope. Hope that we're not all going to die from this virus. We hope that the economy isn't going to not be allowed to go back to work. As we see all of the bad reports come through. Here it is. This is Dave's journey. Not mine. Just happens to be a piece that's, well, kind of cool. Dave's story. Meet Dave. All right. Dave inherits $50,000 in 1970. Why 1970? Well, because they made it up for then. But I'll tell you something else and another reason why. Because 1970s were terrible. Anytime you want to measure the market, anything, the 70s were awful. Stock market went sideways for 14 years from 1966 until 82. 16 years, excuse me. Can you imagine that? 16 years. So start 1950 or 1970 anyway, just because. Okay? Now, $50,000, what are we going to do? And I'm not going to tell you what the investment is. I'm just going to say it's more conservative than the stock market. Why? Because I got to do all the stuff, and then I don't want to do that because I'm going to try to sell you on buying this investment. This is a story of all investments. So then in 1970, they go ahead and pull out $1,000 for their wedding. Back then, I guess you could get married for $1,000. I don't think my daughters were quite like that. My wedding 3 months ago wasn't, that's for sure. Although it wasn't real expensive either. All right, never mind. Anyway, they go on and have children, and then they finally decide they need to get a new car in 1974, and they take out $2,800. Why $2,800? The average price of a car. Now they need a bigger car, a wagon. 1978, pull out $6,400. Then they need a down payment for a house, $18,000. In 1981, they take a vacation for $2,000. And their kids are now growing up, and it's time for them to run off and have a 15-year wedding anniversary in 1985. They upgrade their car and take another $13,000 out in 1987. Children go to college, $24,000 per year. $29,000 for Luke, the younger kid. $25,000 for the wedding. $55,000 for a 529 plan to start for the first grandchild born in 2003. Second grandchild, another one in 2005. Third, $60,000 in 2007. Fourth, $65,000 in 2009. Where are we today with the original $50,000, not a dime added? Is worth $2.7 million after $360,000 taken out. Stunning. Stunning. Now, what if he'd put it, because interest rates were higher, and you know, and you're talking about a different time, Dave, and we need to, you know, measure all that and inflation and stuff. And what about, you know, I remember during that time I could get 16% on a CD. Yeah, for a day you did. And then it was gone. So how about the $50,000 that his brother put into, from his inheritance, equal inheritance, he put it into CDs. Now, he being smart never took $360,000 out to live life. He just left it there. No withdrawals, because if he had taken anything out, he wouldn't have anything. That is worth less than $700,000 with no withdrawals. I don't know that that's really very safe. Just one story. It's a story of investing and living. Not guessing what the market's doing. Not letting the noise of the day infect our thinking. Because it does. It infects it. And there's so many people out there that want you to be infected. Because they want to sell you gold. They want to pimp you an annuity that won't work. They want high commissions from you. They don't want a simple story. They want complexity and fear to reign supreme in your life. And they have the help of all the screens. They have the help of all of the drivers for your attention. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a statistician. I'm not da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what we can all do is take a step back and go, okay, 2 million people are going to die. No, they're not. They're not. It's not going to happen. They're not. We're not Italy. We never were. It wasn't going to be like that. We're not Italy. That's it. Well, okay, no, it'll be a couple hundred thousand people. Hospitals will be overwhelmed. We're going to need 40,000 ventilators. No, you won't. Immediately, they figure out how to get two or three patients on one. They're finding out a ventilator means a death sentence. Maybe we should try something else. Either way, we didn't run out. Other places are trying different things. Maybe we can learn from them too. But what I know is we always run to fear. We always run to that as the lowest common denominator of our human existence. Always. It's sad, but it's true. We're wired that way. We're wired like we're still worried about saber-toothed tigers, and we had to be. Because it was real. You could be eaten. We don't live in that world now, but our emotional, physical reactions to loss are the same thing. The same thing. We lose perspective of how incredibly blessed this country is. I mean, seriously. Once again, before we left the last hour, 4.5% of the population lives in the United States, but we generate 25% of the world's GDP. We generate everything. We are amazing. We're beyond amazing. And now we're doing things we've never done before in a collaborative way, like we've never done before. But ho-hum, what we have to do is turn on the box, and what do we have? Depressing news all the time. All politically biased. Everything's wrong. Trump is the evil orange man. And we can't ever recognize, not now anyway, how it is amazing that we've suddenly changed everything. And we have businesses spending billions of dollars together collaboratively to solve this problem. Guess what? I'm not being Pollyannish to say, problem solved. It's done. We just don't know exactly when. But it's going to get done, and it's going to get done in unbelievably record time. Like never before. We have technology that thinks unbelievably, artificial intelligence, supercomputers, and now we've got all of these companies working together? With that kind of computing capacity? No. And we've got the FDA standing down, right? Well, we always do everything we do is we just say no. I'm with the government, and the answer is no. No, no, no. You can't build here. You can't do that. We cannot approve the drug. We will not do this. We will not do that. I am a bureaucrat. Give me my stamp. No, no, no. Everything's a no. And now it's not. It's like, shut up. FDA, work with these guys. Go over here. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do this stuff super fast over here. We're approving this. We're approving that. And we're going to bring these businesses together. We've never done this on any scale like this. It's like a Manhattan Project, right? In the war. Only bigger. It's amazing. It's a stunning thing. Problem solved. Problem solved. That's where we're at. All right, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. I saw somebody calling in. Hey, would you give us a call back? I'm sorry, it just didn't, it must not have registered, but it's 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net is our email address. Also, if you want to get a hold of us during the week, that's at PetsoFinancial.com. We've got articles, ideas, calculators there to help you with your own financial planning, as well as, of course, podcasts. So it's always fascinating to me, probably once a year we go on and just see where people are downloading the radio show. And it's just fascinating. I seem to have this regular listener in Russia and Saudi Arabia. I mean, you know, you'd expect somebody on a trip or whatever, but every time there's a hit in Saudi Arabia. So I'm just a shout out to that. I don't know who you are. Sometimes shoot me an email. I'd love to know how you came across or what you're stationed over there doing. So it's interesting. All right, let's go to Paul in Ontario. Paul, thank you so much for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I want to tell you, I've been listening since 1996 when I moved back to the Treasure Valley, and I do really appreciate your show.
Well, thank you.
A couple weeks ago, you had a caller on who made a statement about doctors keeping people alive for, you know, to make money. And I am a practicing physician. I'll be very transparent about mm-hmm. that. And it took me about a week just to process that, because that's such an anathema to how we really are trained.
Hang on one second. Sorry. Okay. All right, you there, Paul? Okay, let's say that again now. You had You heard a caller to us? Paul, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so one of your regular callers called in and made the comment about doctors keeping people alive, just to make money. And as a practicing physician, that hit me really wrong.
Right.
And I feel like it's really important that I at least call in to say, that's not the way that most doctors approach care of their patients. And certainly if people feel like that's happening, every hospital has an ethics committee. We are trained from the first year that we began our training in medicine to try and practice ethically and look at things like justice and futility and non-malfeasance, beneficence, and number one is autonomy and letting patients make the choice. And I'm sure that there are times where people feel like they may not have been given that choice, but there are plenty of avenues if they don't feel like they're being listened to or, they're being pushed down a pathway they don't want to go, that they can say, hey, time out. I want to maybe reconsider how we're doing this. And I felt, after a week of just processing, I felt like I needed to get in and say, hey, there's another side to that statement.
Well, Paul, I appreciate you calling in, and I hope certainly that I did not give that impression at all, that I agree with that. As a matter of fact, I remember thinking to myself, or I thought I expressed it, that every life is precious. It's not a question of, that's why we're different in America too. We do think every life is precious. And so I appreciate what you're saying, because it really is. I know that. There's no question in my mind that it's a slippery slope to think anything differently than I need to save the patient in front of me. No wonder you have the Hippocratic Oath. I think that's a driver for all. So I do appreciate that, and I appreciate you taking the time and processing it. Do you have anything else to add, though? I certainly don't want to take away from your time.
Well, I guess that the biggest thing is that there is, every hospital has an ethics committee, and I think that a lot of times patients feel overwhelmed. I mean, you walk in these huge buildings that are just,
Hello, welcome, and once again, thanks for joining us. I it's crazy, and you just sometimes go, wow, really? But that's actually part of the fun of live. It really is. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just, you don't know what's going to happen, right? You just don't know what's going to happen. You have to roll with it. So we're rolling. Paul, I'm going to get back with Paul here now. Let's go. Paul, are you still there? Paul, are you there?
And as a physician, there's a lot of things we can talk about, but my message to your audience is that there are always advocates for you, and if you're stuck in a situation medically where you don't feel like you're getting what you need, there are places you can reach out. And in the hospital, there are lots of ways to do that, whether that's through the nurses, through the administrators, or just making your doctor sit down and instead of standing over you, sit down and look you in the eye. And we went to school to learn how to be physicians, and as time has changed, we're now cogs in a big system, and it's really hard to get back to that some days.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is, George. I one of my dearest friends in life is a doctor, and we've been friends for 30 plus years, and it's just watching the changes and watching that, him having to deal with that over the years is, it's a sad thing, actually. And watching other physicians that I've worked with retire early because they can't stand the bureaucracy and the nonsense they're dealing with, and that's frustrating. So thanks for hanging in there, though.
Yeah, and you continue doing what you're doing. I know that sometimes extemporaneous speaking is not the most fun, but you do it well. And I look forward to listening for many more years.
And thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Paul, thank you for what you do, and you have a great rest of the day, okay?
You do.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to George. George, thanks for holding.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am doing very well indeed.
Well, good.
I guess I could be better, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
You covered a lot of ground today, and one of the things you mentioned, for, I guess it was on the segment with Kevin, that that health care in the United States is now 20% of the economy. Is that correct?
Yeah, it has been. That's why the takeover of health care by the government is something we need to spend a lot of time thinking about. 20% is a big chunk.
Yeah. Well, you may remember back in the 1980s. Healthcare was about 6% of the government.
That's right.
And then we moved into the early 90s with President Clinton, and Hillary was talking about taking over healthcare, and it went to 7%. And then we have Obamacare, and now here we are these many years later, and it's 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be a reason for that. Years ago, in the early 80s, there was a member of our church that was a doctor, and he was in the Air Force. He originally had come from Oklahoma, and he said that he had tried on his own. He couldn't make it. He tried in a clinic with other physicians, and the expenses were just awful. And so finally, he said he joined the Air Force, had an offer, and he joined the Air Force kind of out of self-defense, and he was able to make it. That squared with something that my doctor told me recently. He said there was some survey that was made, and they asked people, how would you make a lot of money? And the number one answer was, you inherit a lot of money. And the number two answer was, you sue somebody with a lot of money, like a doctor.
Mm.
And the number three answer was to work hard for it. I thought that was very telling. I think if we want an example of how bad it is when government gets involved is all the bureaucracy and what Paul was talking about just a while ago. I think this is an example. Everybody that wants somebody else to pay for it, you can end up paying for it.
You know, you're right. It's something too that I think as human beings we forget. It seems like you're pulling something off. There's a person that's been in one of my daughter's lives, and let's say he's always got a scheme and a scam, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's always figuring out how to nail the system or steal a movie or, you know what I'm saying? He's spending a tremendous amount of effort in that and is really just super great at, like, for example, we had this discussion the other day, and it's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy these kind of broken Craftsman tools, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to send them in and get new ones. So you buy them because they're broken, because remember, they have a lifetime warranty, and
right.
then you send it in.
Oh, dear.
It's like, wow, that's exactly like him on everything. And it's like, you know, it's like, I know. It's just like, I know, Dad. It's exactly. But see, the thing is what people don't realize, and we all do this to a level, is that it's that struggle in life that where growth occurs. It isn't figuring out how to scam people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, I nailed it in life because I figured out how to do nothing and survive. You know, it's that's not life. I mean, life is the struggle. It's the grind. It's the grit. It's getting in and having the door slammed in your face,
mm-hmm.
having the business fail, or you just don't know how you're going to make payroll, and then you do, And that's life, man. I mean, that's just, that makes people grow and learn. It's not scamming or figuring out how not to do anything. And so when people are out there because they want to have power over you, saying here's free check, here's free rent, and all the things that the progressives are all bubbling and bambling about right now,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not how human beings are wired. We're just not. We're not going to do well. Like, I never had to work a day in my life. You know what? Rich people's kids don't work out very good because they don't work a day in their life.
True.
Very often. It's mm-hmm. not how we're wired. It's a tough thing. It's a tough, tough thing. It's people want their leisure time, but too much of it is bad for yeah. us, for sure.
Well, you know, Mr. Trump may be an exception because I think his dad was rich. And he just went on from there.
Yes. You know what? I was not going to lump. I don't want to lump people in a category because plenty of rich people go on and have very successful kids. Look at it. Look at the president's kids.
Uh-huh.
Now, aren't they something?
Oh, yes.
Aren't they something?
Absolutely.
Now, what I'm saying is when you enable kids to do nothing and bail them out, uh-huh. that's the problem. Having money is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But not doing well with that money is a problem for mm-hmm. people. You know, it's just, money is a tool. It's good or it's bad. It's a
right.
tool.
Right. Well, I must say, my wife overheard you say that what is a cup of coffee a day for 40 years and is $1 million, and she loves coffee, and she was very, very disappointed with that statement, Dave.
Well, if anybody wants the a PDF of those numbers, you feel free to shoot us an email.
Okay.
I know. What I'm saying is you just have that wonderful coffee at home. Just don't stop by the local $5 per cup place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I better let you go. Thanks a lot. I appreciate
you. Apologize to me for offending your wife, will you please?
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay. Have a great rest of the day.
You too, buddy. Bye bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right. Now, please do ring us up. We got plenty of time, and we've got plenty of lines available. Got an email. It is, what is GDP? All right, fair question. Thank you for holding me accountable to keeping the vocabulary understandable for all. We're here to learn. We're here to learn. Now, I'm going to take two seconds to deal with this, and then I'll tell you what GDP is because it's real easy. First of all, I want to say this. I always want to be held accountable to say, would you please explain that more clearly, be easier to understand. Okay. Also understand that there's going to be times that somebody like George, who knows a lot about the markets, is going to call in and ask about PE ratios and things like this. You know what? We're going to try to talk to you at the level you're at and still try to bring people in. But I want everybody out there, please, to call, send an email. Would you explain that further? I just don't even know what a stock is. I don't know what equities are. I don't understand what a mutual fund is. What's the difference between that and an ETF? Whatever it is, you have a little question, and don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You know, it's just let us know. Okay, GDP. Here it is. Gross domestic production. That's it. Gross domestic product. Another way of phrasing it. All it is the gross output of a country. Best we can measure it, right? It's not going to be exact, but it really says all the goods and services, all that we produce, equals what? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? It's collapsing right now, like never before in history. That's why it's frightening. Frightening. And it is frightening decline. There's no doubt about it. It is off the rails how far it's fallen. But that's our measurement. It's what different countries do. We all know that China lied for years about what their growth rate, which means GDP growth, what was their gross domestic output, basically production. Output, what is everything added together? Is it growing, shrinking? We drove the bus off a cliff. GDP has collapsed. Gross domestic production. Okay? Thanks for the clarity. I appreciate that. Let's go to Bob in Boise. Bob, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Please. Good morning.
Good morning. So with all our stimulus packages and possibly more, does debt mean anything anymore to a government? And if you can look down 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. what's the effect of our economy, and what's going to happen with our tax structure? And if Dave could run it all, what would Dave do? There's a lot of stuff there.
That's a lot of stuff. Yeah, let's unpack it a little bit, okay? First of all, it all depends on how we actually react to this in the long run. Does this just mean we print and nobody cares about budget deficits? If that's the case, we have a really big problem, okay? A huge problem long term, okay? Because it changes the dynamic of the fiber that says we don't have to pay our bills, we just print. And so $1 trillion deficits a year doesn't bother anybody. And so is this a problem today? No. Is it potentially a moral problem, if you will, right? Is the down where we just simply say, you know what, it just debt doesn't matter. See, the economy is doing fine. And it will do fine, but not if we continue to do this. So the answer is we're going to be okay because it's not a high enough percentage of our GDP, gross domestic production, to cause a problem, and because interest rates are low. So if we take that and said, okay, so now I'll roll this into my own editorial, if you will, okay, what would I do? I would create a task force just for that, okay? And I would make it as public, and I would have them come out. I wouldn't be any part of it initially other than to be a cheerleader for it. I'd come out. And that's what I would think they should do, is a long-term debt / taxes economic task force. Huge, right? And just have multiple different sectors weighing in on it. And then and make it all public, just wide open, so the public is buying in, screaming and yelling, you're trying to kill the children. Let the liberals and progressives push grandma off the cliff in their commercials, but it's all got to come out, right? Because you can't just announce something and then say this is the way we're going. Again, it pulls it off of the president, if you will. That's what I would say you have to do, because you have to get buy-in from everyone, because things are going to change. And then when we're talking about it, what tax structure makes the most sense? Is it a flatter? Is it some kind of a value-added tax? Well, I hate that. I get all that, right? But what we have to do is understand we need a broader tax. But this idea that you're going to tax 1% of the population and come up with any real amount of money is stupid. We've tried this over and over and over again, and it just isn't going to work. You can't just tax the other guy and call that a competent answer. So we do have to do that. That's what I would do. And as far as that goes, we have to also understand the fundamental part of this. Raising taxes slows down the economy, so it will not get us to the end point we want to get to. Slowing down the economy means lower tax revenues. Every time we've cut taxes, revenues have gone up. The problem is government. Government is a pig. It's a hog. You can't feed it enough. It always wants more power. It wants more of you. It wants more of your liberties gone. It wants to absorb more of your money, and it doesn't care. It's like this organism that sucks up more. If we wiped out the debt, we would just rebuild it, because that's government. That's what it does. It continues to suck more and more and more power. That's what it does. We have to completely bend that curve if we're going to do that. But it's a great question, Bob. We have a problem long term with this, and we don't short term. Will that be? Will America rise to this occasion and solve the problem before it blows up? I'm a little doubtful. I'm really afraid of that. So anyway, Bob, thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you. It is not a problem today. But boy, is it going to be. It sure is going to be. When, Dave? I don't know. It depends how many more billions we throw on, or trillions we throw on. Excuse me, a billion. Yeah, it's a rounding error. All right. Larry, hang on. We got to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Yeah, it's exciting. It's just exciting to see things open up again. It's like I don't like traffic. I don't like any of that stuff, but it's good to see. It's good to see. I'm so happy. It's, I lease space to some in my building there to a group of really nice ladies that run a massage in there. And it's just, they're just, just trying to make a living. And then, bam, something like this, And you just multiply that out. Right across the street is a little furniture store. Boom. A little furniture store trying to make it against, an R.C. Willie size corporation, And again, I'm not beating up on R.C. Willie but somehow they're doing it. It's so neat that we're just slowly, right? And and long-haired hippies like Kevin Miller, you know, he needs a haircut, man. He does. It's just sad. Sad. It looks like he's just been stuck in his basement, you know? It's not good. It's not a good thing. All right, let's go to Larry. Larry in Nampa. Larry, thank you for holding through the break. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I can give Kevin a haircut. I cut hair in the Army.
Hey, that's nice, but you're not supposed to come near Kevin. That's the problem. But
oh, okay.
I think he needs to do it. His wife needs to do it, and I mean like yesterday it needed to be done.
I just got a couple comments. I was listening to your other callers there, and they taught us in the Army, I'm a Vietnam veteran, they taught us the dumbest questions, the one we don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our country's getting more educated, but they're sure not getting any smarter.
No, actually, I think you're absolutely right. That's one of the biggest problems now is there's no common sense at all. Common sense has become very rare.
Well, I've been trying to fix stupid for 77 years, and I'm losing ground.
You are losing ground. That's right. Yep, you can't fix stupid. That's
true. This gentleman that talked about his, I don't know, relative buying broken tools and getting them replaced for free.
Yeah.
That's what ruins a good deal for everybody else.
I know. It is.
People like that are just leeches.
They are. They are. It's really sad, and it's just one of those things that you look at and you go, and the person always just really thinks they're just clever, really, really smart. They're so clever.
Yeah.
And it is. It's clever by half. They have a miserable life. They really do. He is a very miserable guy. It just flows out in all those ways. You're right. But anyway, go ahead, Larry. Let me stop talking.
I had a friend out in Virginia that had bought a particular item at this lumber yard three or four times. He went back to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, we don't carry that anymore. We couldn't keep it in stock. So that's our mentality today. Mm-hmm. That pretty much says it all.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. No doubt about that. All right. Larry, anything else, buddy?
No, sir. I hear these comments and I want to say something, you know.
Or scream something, huh?
Yes.
I'm with you. Yes. I know. We all have to, we need to understand where that comes from and what really causes that. And that's
another thing I just thought of it that really irritates me is the Idaho drivers. Mm-hmm. I bet there ain't one in 10 that could pass a spot on spot test for a driver's license. These drivers drive without their lights on.
Yeah.
And it's real simple. All you have to do is get a driver's book and get the answers. I stuck one under a guy's windshield wiper one time. But the law is from sundown to sunup, you have to have your lights on, and parking lot lights are not legal. It says that right in the driver's training book.
Well, it's just get your headlights set on that whatever that auto on setting.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about it. They're just on all the time.
Well, I don't think most drivers even know they have that on their vehicle.
Yeah. Well, all the new ones do now. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but they can turn them off.
That you can. That's true.
And they don't know how to turn them back on. So that's what I mean when I say we may be getting more educated, but we're certainly not getting any smarter.
Right on. That's true. It's a big problem. We have to think bigger. We do.
Well, Larry, you have a good day.
You do the same. You have a good day yourself.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
And you know what? We're going to be out of time here. Hey, anytime you have a question or a comment, you want us to run down a road or two, that's petsofinancial.com. We've got articles, calculators there. We've got podcasts of the past programs. So we'd love to hear from you and just what you want to talk about, too. Okay? So with that, I just want to leave you with a couple of trailing thoughts here. Let's think about this from the basics perspective. This works. And I don't know if next week the market's going to be up or if we pull back. I do know this. As we move into reopening, the virus will spread more, and we are also moving closer to the election. All of that is going to be one person's fault, not doing something correct. And understand that in the context of what's really going on as people call for continued shutdown. not opening as quickly, not responding in one way or another. It's not all bad. It's just it's not all good either. But we're getting there. Have a good weekend, everybody.